for our study of the parables of Jesus. This week we are looking at the parable of the shrewd manager, and that's found in Luke 16, verses 1 to 16. There are some handout sheets at the back on the podium if you would like to take one. Please come out on Saturday, May the 3rd at 10 a.m. for our Ambassador Baptist Outreach event. It is a great opportunity to let people in our community know that God loves them and deliver invitations to come and worship with us. And on Sunday, May the 18th, the induction service for Pastor James will be happening here at our church at 3 p.m. Please plan to attend this special service in the afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to our Good Friday service as we reflect on the great sacrifice that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, made for us on the cross. Our call to worship is from 1 John 4:10. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And we will start with our first hymn, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?" Feel free to stand as you are able.
Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the season of Easter. We are thankful for your unconditional love towards us. Thankful that you became the ransom for our sins, delivering us from the chains of Satan, the burden of hell, the depravity of the human soul. And in your own agape love, you brought us back to yourself by taking our place on the cross. And Lord, today we come to celebrate. We come to thank you. We come to this memorial gathering, not as a ritual through each year, not as a season to be sad, but then to place premium on how that you loved us and gave yourself for us. Lord, both those who are here and those who will yet hear and join the service and take on the audio later on, we ask, O God, that our lives would indeed not be such that would crucify you again. That our lives to our world will be a living testimony of you, the crucified Christ. Like Paul said, he said, "The life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me." Lord, in this season, we release Canada, we release Windsor, we release Ontario, even into your hands, and we say, O God, may Jesus crucified be lifted high in all of our dealings. And may this country, may this province, and may our city, all the churches therein, and all those who live, experience the blessings of the crucified Christ. Thank you, Father, because we know, even as we go through this worship experience, as we have started, you would help us and bless us, that at the end of this worship experience, we will leave here more blessed than we have come. We remember all those around the world who are still going through persecution and a whole lot of diverse negativity. The places where there are wars, the places where hunger, the places where they are facing drought, the places where the economy is so tough. And Lord, we remember all these places and we say, Lord, let your peace reign. You who died so that we may have peace, let our world enjoy, encounter your peace, and let us come together in the worship of the one true God. May this continue to be our portion now and always, in Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew 27, verses 45 to 54. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
So happy Good Friday to each and every one of us. I thank God for the lives of those of us who have taken time to be at this morning worship. We are grateful and we're thankful to God that we are in a place where we can come out like this and worship and serve God and celebrate the Easter. There are places around the world they can't do this. They can be known that they are gathering, but they still gather. Why would they risk themselves to be gathering? Because they know the premium that it is for Jesus to have died for them, that they are willing to risk their safety, risk their lives, and still go for worship. Some in the underground church, some in the persecuted church. And so when we come like this freely, not disturbed by any legislation, not come against in a violent way by anyone, then it's something why we need to praise God and worship him and be grateful for the salvation of our souls, that on a day like this, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross and paid the price so that you and I will have eternal life. Amen. Can we bow down our heads as we pray this morning? Father, we are grateful for this time. Thank you for what you have done. We're expectant, indeed, that our lives here would not have mattered if not for you. We're looking forward to our lives beyond this earth. But as we continue to live on this earth, we ask, O God, that you help us never to take for granted your debt and to always value what you did on the cross today. And because of that, help us to be motivated so that we can speak and share your love with others in and around us. That we will always be missional Christians and will be missional churches to the glory and honor of your name. And as we go through your word this morning to remind and inspire us, Lord, let your name be glorified and help us to hear you clearly, individually and collectively as a church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. There's a song that I like, and it's a song that I've forgotten who sang the song, but so many years ago, some of us will know it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross. Our debts you paid from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. If you know the song, we can sing it together. If you don't know it, don't worry. Just move your lips, you know. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross. Our debt you paid from the cross to the grave and from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Hallelujah. That's great. That's praise the Lord. So the Bible says to us in the place we read in Matthew chapter 27, from verse 45 into verse 54. It said, from the noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness covered over all the land. When Jesus was crucified, when it got to a point, the Bible tells us, everywhere became darkened. For those of us who are here in Canada or in North America, maybe when you have some, not a general thing, except maybe there was a strong wind, like some places in Toronto, I think a week or two ago, when the wind was very heavy and you had some stuff had to fall, the trees and so on. There were some lights, poles and wiring that had to get pulled, so that some homes were without power supply. So they had to look for backup and survive the time. And so, for those of us in Canada or in North America, for you not to have power supply and experience thick darkness or deep darkness, for so many people, it's strange. But if you come from where I come from, there was a time in Ghana, for example, we did have power supply uninterrupted for like 10 years. It was celebrated. It was something great to enjoy. And I think it moved a bit into 12, into, you know, 12, maybe getting towards 15 years. Then we began to have power shortage, epileptic power supply. And we call that Dumso. Dumso means the power goes, it's on. It's like a Christmas light operation. So while you are still celebrating, then suddenly the light is gone. And for some days without, there was a time there would be announcement to tell you that there's not going to be light. But then as the government changed from one to the other, there was no reason to explain to you why the light should go off. And so the light just goes off. And then all you could do is to shout, ECG. That's the electrical company there. And so darkness in the evening is normal. I'm trying to speak as to when you talk of the kind of darkness they face, we don't have much of that. Even in the night here, there are places that are brighter than the day. You know, especially when you have good lighting, you don't feel it. But then I remembered also I went to, there was a time, I don't know whether it was January or February, I went somewhere and the whole of the road was dark. Dark. There was no street light, nothing. And I was wondering, how do people drive here at night? So, for you to find yourself in such a scenario, everywhere became dark. Now the darkness was not just the typical darkness. This was thick darkness. The type of darkness that took place, if you remember in Exodus, the Bible says there was a time when Herod, or Pharaoh rather, was fighting with God, fighting the children of God, oppressing them. One of the punishments that God brought upon them was what? Thick darkness. The darkness was so thick that the Bible said people could not see each other. And so this was a description, number one, of God's anger. Number two, of the weight of sin and the wrath of God. And so the Bible says about 3 in the afternoon, you would expect everywhere to be bright. But of the weight of sin that Jesus carried, our sins. The Bible says he himself bore our sins and transgression on the cross. At the weight and the heaviness of our sins, everywhere became so dark. Thick darkness. By three in the afternoon. And then the Bible said, Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. An Aramaic word. Aramaic is a twist of or a dialect of the Hebrew that is not spoken by many. And so, when Jesus said that, the Bible said their response, oh, he's calling Elijah. Do you know what it means, like when you are going through pain and agony? When the pain is tough and you want to cry out, you're looking for somebody to share, a way to vent out what you are carrying. The Bible said the sins of us all was put on him. The sins of our lives, number one, the Adamic sin, the Adamic nature, the rebellion that came from Adam, that seed was taken care of at that moment. But then not just that alone. Every other consequence of that, which means even the sins that are yet to happen, the sins that generations of humanity will come and we would step into, was paid for that day. And so sin, the devil, and everything that looks negative is symbolized in the weight of the darkness. And Jesus took all for you and I. So as we look at the cross that tore the temple's curtain. The cross that tore the temple's curtain. The Bible said he cried out, and in his cry of pain and agony, have you ever felt excruciating pain in any area or at any time? I remember that while we were still having kids. Right now, we have left that chapter. Amen. Our last born is going to be 13 this year, so to God be the glory. So all the period that my wife was having the babies, I would always be there. So I become the assistant nurse. My assignment was to be there for my wife, but also everything that, because when you go for delivery in where I come from, you take your stuffs there by yourself. So I would arrange her bags and put the stuff. I know where everything is in case the midwife requires that, or the doctor. So I say, oh, this one is here, this one, because I did the arrangement, so I have to be there. So if they ask her, where is this? She'll say, oh, ask my husband. So I'm always there. But one of the things I would see is how much the pain of labor, the pain of labor that she goes through, and how sometimes I need to be held. You know, when sometimes the pain is much, when those cramps, they say, when you feel it, push. When you feel it, push. And then if I'm blessed that she's holding me at that point, then every push, I receive the result, because she will grip me more. So it's like she's feeling the pain, but I'm getting the reaction. And so I will still be encouraging her, because I cannot make her feel somehow. So I'm not the one feeling the physical pain. She's feeling it. So even if she grabs me more, it's kind of hurting me. But I have to believe it's not hurting me, because I know that what she's feeling is far more difficult for her than whatever that one she's squeezing me is. Some doctors and science people have said that what a woman goes through in labor is one of the, you know, height of the threshold of pain. And for Jesus to be on the cross, taking in all our sins, that is a weight of pain that can never be described enough by words. But why did he take all our sins? Why did he stay on the cross? The Bible says, because he loved us. He said, what greater love can a man have than to lay down his life for his friends? Have you ever gone through pains that made you to cry out to others for help? When we go through circumstances and things that are painful, tough, and hard on us, we want to seek someone to cry to. Jesus, in this point, the Bible says he was crying to the Father. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Why? Because indeed, the Bible says when he carried our sins, it seemed as if God turned his back on his son because of the weight of sin that satisfied the wrath of God against mankind. Sometimes when we go through painful situations, we cry to people. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to cry to others? Now, many a times, if they have not experienced what you are going through, they may not be able to comfort, offer the right comfort. They may not be able to empathize, because they try to put themselves in your shoe, but indeed, no matter how well they try to fixate themselves in your shoes, they can't feel what you are feeling. Psychologically, physically, spiritually, emotionally, no one can effectively appreciate whatever another person goes through except for God. On the cross, Jesus had to say, Father, why have you forsaken me? As we sit here this morning, have you ever felt forsaken by people? In fact, sometimes we ourselves feel forsaken that we have left us. When you don't feel like you again, when you don't know what is going on, when you cannot comprehend, when you are putting in efforts and you are trying your best, and it's as if your best never yields a better result. Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Why is God not answering my prayers? Why is God not listening to me? Why is God not seeing my situation? Does God remember where I live? Does he remember my family? Does he remember me about my health? Does he see what I'm going through? Does he feel what I'm going through? Is he interested in my case? If you have ever had such a question, know that on a day like this, Jesus asked a similar question. Now, because the Son was in the full embodiment of humanity, his divinity seemed not to be there at this time. He said, "Father, have you forsaken me?" Can I say to somebody, God has not forsaken you. The reason why Jesus came to die on the cross is so that you and I will never be forsaken again. One of the local songs in Nigeria some years ago, it said, "He paid the debt he did not hold. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing Amazing Grace." I mixed it up somewhere there. "Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." So you're not alone if the weight of life seemed too heavy. You're not alone when you feel forsaken. You are not alone when it seems as if people have turned against you. Those you thought loved you, those you sacrificed for. Because we know, going up to the story with everything that Jesus had done, healing the sick, raising the dead, you know, helping people. The Bible said Pilate was even confused. He said, "Who do you choose?" It's like saying this man who has healed the sick, raised the dead, he had not committed anything. He's been preaching good, you know, doing things that are supernatural, not hurting anyone, so to say, except for those who are religious leaders and religious people. And they said, "No, if you're going to set anybody free, set Barabbas free." They said, "Oh, he's a criminal." "Yes, set him free and kill this guy." It didn't make sense to Pilate. So what did he do? Is it Pilate or Pilate? Pilate. Okay, so I'm safe. So what did he do? He said, "Give me water." And he washed off his hands. He said, "This is not part of my business. You guys said this. So in terms of justice, I was fair. But you wanted the thief, you don't want the savior. You wanted the thief, you don't want this royalty." Because they called him the king of the Jews. And that for them, they were angry. So he washed off his hands and sends him to be killed. But in all of this, God was working out something beyond us. What was that? The Bible says that when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave of the Spirit, and the temple cut into two, split from top to the bottom. So the question is this: what is the significance of this cutting that turned into two? If you know the temple in the Old Testament, the way God asked them to build the temple, there was this thick cutting. Thick. It was to separate every other place in the temple from the holiest of all. Why? In the holiest, or the holy of holy, is a place where you have the ark of the Lord, which signifies or symbolizes his presence was. And no one could step into that place except for the high priest. And most of the time, once in a year, the high priest goes there to present sacrifice on behalf of people so that their sins will be forgiven. And that place was covered because if you do not have the right to go in, or even the right to be able to see, you could die, especially if you have sin in your life. And then it was not just for anybody, it was for certain people who had been called by God into that office. So the curtain was a divine attempt to help the people. Number one, they don't just suddenly stray to that place and get killed by God's wrath. Number two, they don't just look and they could be in trouble, because if the glory of God came face to face with them, they could die. Number three, it also helped to make them have in their mind the sacredness of that which is kept from their sight. Because when, if you just see that majorly, what is there? Just this ark. That's all. Is that what they call God's presence? It kind of doesn't allow them to place value on what is there. But when that place is covered, you know, it's a kind of shrine, covered up, and then they get to see the priest, the high priest, go in there with so much solemnity and quietness and just walks down to the place, and then the curtain is back there. Everybody's waiting. It's so pious and so sacred, solemn, and it's a wonderful experience. But then you just remove it and just, so what's this guy doing there? Oh, all he's just doing is just to do the sacrifice. And what is he doing? What? And then he pours the blood on the mercy seat and so on. It will look too simple. And such simplicity sometimes may make people not to place value on how sacred and how important what they were doing. So you didn't have access. Even the priest had to be when you are the one who is to go. And you had to purify yourself. Now, so it means it was a separation between the relationship of the people directly with God. And so the Bible tells us these wonderful things happened immediately that Jesus cried and he gave up his ghost, or he died completely. Something happened. That same curtain that was not split, that seemed seamless in its design, split from top to the bottom and exposed everything that was considered sacred that was in there. For the first time, the ordinary eyes on the street that came into the temple could see straight into where and what is called the holiest of all. And that meant whatever barrier that was between man and God had been taken away. Why is this important? Because henceforth, everyone had access to God directly without the necessity of having a priest. Because Jesus at that moment became, number one, the sacrifice. Number two, our chief high priest that is offering the sacrifice, who is himself. Number three, he became a symbol of the veil. His body represented a symbol of the veil. And the Bible said, when his body was broken, it was like tearing the wall of separation and the veil that kept God and man from having direct interaction was turned away. And so the cross of Jesus, that cross that in their time was used to kill criminals. It's like when you put somebody on a death row. In Africa, you talk about firing squad. Or you say death by hanging. Or you say death by electrocution. Or you say death by little injection. And so one of the worst ways to kill someone in those times is to nail them to the cross and see them, the life in them, stripped off as they lost blood gradually. with the scorching sun, with the open weather, nothing covering them. So the person will literally die a painful death. And in Jesus' case, they made it even worse. The Bible said they stabbed him on the right, they stabbed him on the left. Why? So that he would lose fluid more, he would lose blood more, and then he could die faster. In fact, the Bible said they came because another thing they do is to break the bones. Because you know the bone marrow is where blood production is done. Basically, as the science people would say. And so if you break the bone, then you have caused some irregularity that will make internal bleeding more. They came to him and they discovered there was no need because he was already dead. And so, but it was a fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says none of his bones were broken. So, the death of Jesus and the tearing apart or split into two of the curtain helps us know there's a new covenant in Christ Jesus, a new relationship, a new access to everything that God has done, a cancellation and the end of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Sincerely speaking, on the day like this, or especially in the Easter season, which is described as the Passover in the Old Testament, all of us that are seated here, I will be here waiting as the, should I give myself, high priest of the church? And then you will come with your different animals. You have the, depending on the kind of sin that you are trying to handle for the year. So when you come in with the lamb or whatever thing, and then you can imagine the smell in this place, the poo. They urinate. And then you're, that's the service time. So when you are hearing that, that's a good service. That's a good Passover coming. And then we have to, our furnace will not just be giving us heat. It will be doing some barbecue kind of. But the interesting part is that most of it, you will not eat. I will not eat. We will serve them. We will do them as burnt offering. So you get to stay there and allow that thing burn to ashes. And some of it we will sit down and eat afterwards as a celebration of the Passover with bitter herbs. So this place will become like an abattoir with some knives. So just imagine how messy it will be. And if for any reason you don't have money or the ability to get an animal, then for that year, you will carry over your sin until next year. That's more trouble for you. But then we can just walk in today. Just like that. Because on the cross, on a day like this, Jesus' death ripped the curtain that separated us from God. And so I say to us, Happy Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. So many centuries, this was considered a bad Friday. Some describe this Black Friday. Some saw it as a sad Friday to mourn. But later in church history, we discovered and got to tell ourselves, no, it was not a sad event. The only person who will be sad is the devil and his hosts, because God outran them. But for those of us who are humans, it was a day that God changed our story. It was a day that God turned things around. It was a day that God chose to bless us. And he ripped the curtain apart. And so I can say to us, like the book of Hebrews says, now we can come boldly to the throne of mercy. And we can obtain grace for our times of need. So the curtain is torn. Can I add to that? When that happened, do you know what happened? The ministry of the priests as official intermediaries between God and the people was canceled. That's why, as Baptists, you don't need me. us, pastor, to get to God. Because you have direct access to God. So what do I do here as pastor? I don't need to do the sacrificial stuff that we were doing again. All I do is to challenge us, inspire us, help to lead in worship, help as we do our missional activities before God and the community. As we go through God's word, as we navigate life, think of things of pastoral care, counseling, prayers. But not because you cannot reach God by yourself, but because we learn to strengthen each other and encourage one another as we walk towards the kingdom of God. But prior to that, in the Old Testament, before the temple, before the cutting of the temple was done, you can't talk to God in your house. Direct. Ha, who are you? You don't have direct access to God. I remember those days when there were no mobile phones. And you had to go to some places where there was a phone and you need to put in the coin. How many of us remember that? Amen. And if you don't get there on time and the queue is long, oh, God bless you that day. And if you are talking too much, others on the queue, please, can you just finish talking? I need to talk to somebody in whichever country. But now, you can sit down anywhere and do what? Pick your mobile phone and do what? Place your call. Just like that. And that's exactly what Jesus did. When he ripped that curtain off, he says, therefore, you don't need anyone to get to God except Jesus, who became our high priest, who his body became the torn curtain to give access to God, and who was the sacrifice, the only ultimate sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. So we can celebrate. We can rejoice. We can share the same with other people. Whatever I've told you today, I know you know it. So we are reminding ourselves. Because sometimes we forget. Does that, I'm not saying we can't pray together. I'm not saying we can't take counsel up. I'm only saying that you do not need any intermediary between you and God. You have direct access to him. And so let's go in that mind. And let's encourage other people that God loves us. He's given his life. And they can get direct access to him anywhere, anytime. And so when we come to church like this, it's not because we can't speak to God in our private times. It's because he has encouraged us to come together as his people so that we can do a whole lot for him. Not because it's until when you enter into the church. You know, sometimes we feel the moment I enter into the church, it's like we have, you know, when you have a router? Is it a router or how do we call that? And it's positioned somewhere. The closer you are to it, you are able to, you download faster, your data moves. Is that not so? Sometimes that's how we feel. Oh, the moment I come to church, wow, I get express access to God. No, that's not the design why God designed the church. No, his design for the church is so that we can fellowship together and corporately reach him. But the quality of our fellowship together is in how we privately, in our personal space, connect with him. And so you don't need to be in the church to have God's network. Wherever you find yourself, as long as you have given your life to him and your heart is towards him, you will always get connected to him. Let's bow down our heads as we pray. Father, we are grateful for this time. Thank you for reaping the curtain because of us. Thank you for your mercy and love that is always there. Thank you for the sacrificial system you have saved us from. That we are not carrying animals around on a day like this. We are not eating to a particular prescription. You must eat before the day is done. You must eat the animal with bitter herbs. All those things, Lord, you saved us from. You saved us from waiting once only in the year. Will a priest be able to go and help us do the confession of our sins and slaughter the escaped goat? but you became our lamb and sacrifice forever. Lord, thank you for being loving, being merciful, being kind. Thank you for delivering us from the rituals. Your sacrifice is ever appreciated. Thank you because you have given us access to God. We, O Lord, solemnly in our hearts, with joy and thankfulness, continue to celebrate this Easter season. Continue to see your death on the cross as priceless. Continue to know that there is no wall of separation in us accessing you. We have direct connection to you at any time, anywhere, at any time. As long as we see you as our God, our Lord, and Savior. Help us to always see this. Help us to always yield ourselves. Help us to share this love with others. And Lord, in this Easter season, bless us. As we come and gather again on Sunday, let your name be glorified as we celebrate your resurrection and the hope that it is for us and the assurance of eternity that it brings to us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.